Good morning. Today we're going to be reading from John 1, verses 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen. Thank you. Let's pray, and then we'll get into our study. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you because you say that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So based on your word and your promise, we trust that you are here. And I ask, Lord, that you would touch every heart that's in this place. I ask that you would minister personally as you go throughout the sanctuary, Lord God, and touching every person who needs a touch from you. I pray that you would cause faith to rise on the inside, that you would give us, Lord God, to grasp the truth that you have for us and cause the truth to set us free. You said you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I pray for revelation, for insight. I pray for a freshness. I pray that you would even use words that haven't been considered or thought of in the past, that you would have absolute freedom in this place. Bring healing where healing is needed to our spirits, to our souls, to our bodies. Have complete control. We belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you don't know, we began the book of John last week, and so we're taking it section by section, and we're taking it within context. So for next week or for the following consecutive weeks, just go ahead and read that passage, and so you'd be familiar with it. And I think the more that you engage your own heart and your own mind in the scriptures, these studies will be more meaningful to you rather than hearing them for the very first time here on Sunday morning. You're already familiar with it, and you've read, and you've asked God to give you insight on on your own. So we learned last time that John the Beloved is the one that wrote this particular gospel. And he wrote long after the other three gospels. Mark wrote first, and then Matthew, and then Luke. And then John wrote here towards the end. And he had one purpose in mind when he wrote the gospel. And he tells us what that purpose is in chapter 20 and verse 31 of the book of John. He says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." In his name. And what John does, instead of doing like Matthew and Luke using a genealogy, he goes back to the very, very beginning, the beginning of time, and he declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and there wasn't anything that was made without him." In other words, he's the one that created everything. In other words, he's trying to communicate to us that Jesus is deity, that Jesus is God. And deity simply means he is the creator. He is God himself. And we use the acrostic word, W-O-R-D, to get our point across in our last message, that W is that he is without, beginning or end, that he is eternal. O, he is one God in three persons, declaring the Trinity. One God in three persons. The R is that he is the root of all life, that he created everything. And he is the derivation, or he is the source of all light and life. All light and life. And that is on the website. If you missed that message, you can go back and hear that. Beginning here in verse 6 this morning, he says, "There was a man sent from God." There was a man sent from God. And continuing on the theme of light, God here is saying that I'm sending you a messenger. I'm sending you a messenger. Sending a messenger is the way that God would communicate to them in their own language. When people at that time who were his audience were reading this, they would understand, because that's how they communicated. When they wanted something to be heard or understood, there was a messenger, there was a runner that went ahead of someone who was coming behind to say, "Be careful, be cautious, be aware, be alert, be on guard. Someone is coming. Someone important is coming." And so even prior to John the Baptist, that is, who was the forerunner here, other methods were used. In the Old Testament alone, over 300 scriptures were given declaring that Jesus is arriving at some point in the future. God sent a host of angels around the time of his birth. If you recall, it says there were shepherds out in the field, And there appeared a host of angels saying, glory to God in the highest. Somebody nod your head or do something. All right, good. And then there in the temple when Jesus was being circumcised, it says that there was this old man named Simeon and an old lady named Anna. Good job. So there was Simeon and there was Anna, and they were there in the temple and they were bearing witness to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And then not long after, the Magi appeared. The Magi. You remember their story, the Magi? It says they saw a star appearing in the east and they followed that star. And they followed it for about 2 years from where they were. And it came and stood over the house where Jesus was. And they brought in their offerings, their gold, frankincense, and good job, class. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they came and they presented it. And they worshipped him. Him who? Him the child that was there. But somehow the Jews missed all of that. They missed all of that. And so God is sending a messenger who's preparing the way right at the introduction of Jesus going into his ministry. And this particular messenger was actually mentioned in the Old Testament. There we go. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 30, it talks about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner. It says, there's a voice of one that is calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So this man was actually spoken about hundreds of years before. Also in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come into his temple. What is God doing there? He's saying, I am sending a messenger who's going to prepare the way for Jesus, who has the truth that he wants to communicate to you. So they would understand and expect the Messiah's arrival. Okay? And the word John, his name, John, simply means God is gracious. John means God is gracious. And so God's motivation here is grace and love. He's graciously going to communicate what he wants in truth and in love. And he's not going to strong arm humanity into believing. Can God strong arm us into believing? Yeah, because he's strong. But he's not going to choose that route. He's going to speak to us with tenderness and in kindness. He's not going to intimidate us with his glory. What do you mean? You know when an angel appeared any time in the Bible to anybody, they would fall dead before the angel because the angel was so big and awesome and holy and powerful. And an angel is a created being, not God himself. Imagine God wrapped himself in flesh and appears among us. What would that look like? But he chose to do it in such humility and in such kindness. Lovingly, graciously, he's reaching out to man. This shows the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the gentleness of God. The one who at the sound of his name, the oceans roar. The mountains, they tremble. But here he is humble and he is speaking to his people. So I'd like to talk to you along the lines of two things this morning. Number one, light. Number two, lineage. Light and lineage. Are you ready? By the looks of your faces, I am so not convinced, but light and lineage, light. It's okay to smile once in a while in church. Light and lineage. Let's begin with light. Light. John came to bear witness of the light. He came to bear witness of the light. And although Israel was walking in darkness, God always had a remnant who was walking in the light of God. And John was one of those who was walking in obedience and yielding to the Lord, and as the moon reflects the light of the sun, you know, the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It simply is a reflection of the sun itself. And so as the moon gives light from the reflection of the sun, here John is giving light as a reflection of Jesus' light on his life. And so he gives us a picture. He gives us a picture of what our job is as children of God. You are a child of God, I'm hoping. If not, I pray by the end of the service you would be a child of God. As a child of God, you are also a minister of God because he has called us as kings and priests. And so as a king and as a priest, you have a job and a duty. And that simply is not to reveal yourself or to speak about yourself or to flex your own spiritual muscles so other people can say, wow, look at that preacher, look at that minister, look at that brother, look at that sister. That's not the point. The point is for us to declare none other than Jesus himself. He was pointing to another. He was pointing to someone other than himself. His job was to bear witness of the light that he has seen. You are a child of God, a son or a daughter of the King. Your job is to bear witness of the light that you have seen. I would dare to say, and please pardon my boldness in saying this, part of the reason why we don't declare to others is because we haven't seen. Way too early for that. Sorry. Just had to drop it right where it was. Part of the reason why we don't share with others the way that we should share with others is because we haven't seen anything. You cannot see the light and not tell people about the light. It's impossible to know that there is something glorious, something amazing, something spectacular, and you keep it to yourself. This is just between me and the Lord. There's no such thing. When Jeremiah said, when I tried to stay silent, I tried to be quiet, his word was like a fire that was shut up in my bones. I tried not to say anything, because he was going through a bunch of hard times. But even though he was in the prison house, even though his feet were in the mire, even though he was locked up unjustly, he says his word was like a fire that was shut up in my bones. I want to challenge you this morning, if you are not sharing something of the truth with those that are around you, it's a clear indication you haven't seen anything. That's the bad news. The good news is he's ready to open your eyes today. He's ready to open each of our eyes today. And if you dare to be like blind Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the side of the road, and you see just Jesus coming in a procession, and you say, what is that sound? They say, Jesus is coming. You dare lift your voice and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus calls him and says, what do you wish? He says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He says, your faith has made you well. See. And his eyes were opened, and he began to follow him immediately. Are you tracking with me this morning? I'm more excited than your act. That's all right. It's all good. It's all good. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, for we do not preach ourselves. Listen, we do not preach ourselves. Are there any preachers in the house? We don't preach us, but we preach Christ Jesus our Lord. And ourselves, we are simply your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness and has shone in our hearts and gave us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You want to see light? You're not going to find it watching television. It will not be on Netflix, Hulu, or YouTube. It's not there. It's not going to be in your friends and your conversations. It's not going to be in your vacations. It's not going to be in your promotion on the job. It's not going to be in the wealth. It's not going to be in your family or anything around you. If you want to find the light, it's found here, as it says, in the face of Jesus Christ, because he didn't say, I have light. He says, I am. Help me, somebody. He didn't say, I have light to give you. I have light to offer you. He says, I am the light. Is there a difference? So here's the question. Why would anyone have to tell others about the light? Why would someone have to testify to someone else about the light if all can see the light when it turns on? If we step outside this hall right now, and we go outside and it's like 75, 80 degrees, whatever it is outside, we can all see the light, yes? Would anyone have to testify to us that there's light outside? It's there. So why is John testifying about the light? Unless some of us are blind. What's that? If some of us are blind, maybe I can feel the warmth of the sun, but I can't see anything. And some of you can feel on occasion, from time to time, you feel the warmth of God's love, but you haven't seen anything. I personally believe, as we were praying earlier this morning, that Jesus wants to walk in between us, among us, and place his hand personally on each person and touch you exactly where you need, because he doesn't want you to walk one more day, not one more moment, in any kind of blindness. He wants your eyes to be opened. He wants you to see, because when you behold him, when you see him for who he is in his glory, you will be then and only then transformed. You want to change yourself. You're saying, I wish there were some things in my life that can change. I wish there were some things in my life that can be transformed. It's not going to change by you reading another book or going to another seminar or hearing another preacher. That's not how it happens. How it happens, my friends, is as we look into the face of Jesus, and if we can't see him, we lift up our voices like Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and say, Lord, have mercy on me also. You open their eyes, open my eyes as well. And if you are like the man who was once touched already,
And Jesus said to him, do you see anything? He says, yes, I see men walking around like trees. In other words, there are obstacles, they are in the way. I can see you okay, Lord, but these other people here are a hindrance to me. He says, not good enough. As long as you don't see them with clarity and you don't have that level of relationship with them, you don't have that level of relationship with me. Let me touch you one more time. And he was able to see clearly. God wants to bring that kind of healing. I don't need to wait until tomorrow or next week or next month or until Christmas. God wants to do it today. Because he's here. Because he's here. On what basis? If two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He's here right now. You see, I don't feel anything. Doesn't matter what you feel. Your feelings are irrelevant. His word is what's relevant. And he sent his word. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them. And he delivered them. I personally believe some will have eyes that are open this morning. Eyes to see Jesus in a way that they've never seen him before. And to experience him in a way that they've never experienced him before. And to receive healing in their souls, in their hearts, in their minds, even in their bodies, in a way that they've never experienced before. Why? Because we have shifted from our feelings to a level of faith and expectancy and saying, God, I am here. I desire you. I want you. Please remove the obstacles. And if there is doubt in my life, please deal with the doubt in my life. But heal me anyway, because I need you. I need you. And I'm not planning to go anywhere until you touch me. I'm placing my faith and my hope and my trust in you. Except those that are blind. Matthew Henry said, light is a thing which witnesses for itself and carries its own evidence along with it. But those who shut their eyes against the light, it is necessary there that those, that there be witness to it. So what John's witness here is simply an indictment against all of humanity, that they all are blind and they need the light of God. They need the light of God. And Jesus, again, testifies to himself and says, I am the light. I am the light of the world. And this wasn't something new. When he came and declared in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, this wasn't something new. This is something that you can trace back to Exodus chapter 13. What's happening in Exodus chapter 13? It says, and covering the people of Israel was a cloud by day and a pillar by night. And it says, and the Lord went before them in the cloud and in the pillar. It doesn't say he sent them a cloud and he sent them a pillar. It says the Lord personally went before them. Who was going before them? It was Jesus. Who was going before them? He's saying, I'm not going to send you a light. I'm not going to send you a covering. I'm not going to send you a guide. I will be there myself. I am not entrusting you to the angels. I'm not entrusting you to your surroundings. What I am doing is I am there on my own. I am there personally because I want to be in the center. I want to be in your midst because I want to be with you. Some of us have a hard time believing that. Let me share with you why. Because when I am by myself, left alone with my own thoughts, I'm not sure I like me. When I am left to my own thoughts, alone, away from people, I'm not sure I like me. And if that's the case, I find it extremely difficult and challenging to attempt to try and believe that God wants to be close to me. But the truth is, he is drawn to the brokenhearted. He is near to those who are weak and distraught. And he says, this is the reason why I came. I didn't come for those who are healthy. I didn't come for those who are well. I am the great physician, and I came to bring healing with me. And he comes with healing in his wings. He comes with healings in his wings. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 17, it says, he took them, Peter, James, and John, and he led them onto a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. We're talking about him being the light. What are you doing? He's saying, I'm showing them a glimpse of my glory, a sneak preview into what eternity will look like. Can't you wait? Can't wait. Because this is how they're going to be changed. And this is how their joy is going to be full. When they get a glimpse of who I am. I just want to show them a small glimpse. Just a moment. Just a moment worth of glimpse. And that will transform who they are. Why? So they can live up on the mountain and say, we had an amazing experience. No. God doesn't want to do this so that you can say yourself that you are an elevated type of Christian. That you are up here and everyone else is down here. He's saying, I'm going to do this because as we go down the mountain, there's going to be people who need help. There's going to be people who need prayer. There are going to be demons that need to be cast out. There's going to be blind eyes that need to be opened. Is anybody in this room today? There's going to be people that are in need of help, and I want you to get a glimpse of who I am so that you can minister life to these people and bring healing and wholeness and restoration where it's needed. God doesn't want to bless you for the sake of blessing you so you can go home and say, I was blessed. He wants to bless you so he can use you for his glory so that you can be an extension of his hands, an extension of his feet, an extension of his words as you speak life to people. So why does he harbor here on this issue of light? Because light is the essence of who God is. Light is the essence of who God is. 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is important for us to hear and grasp. Because we have an enemy who will whisper to us in our ears, if God is light, and there's no darkness at all, then why are you experiencing occasional darkness and pain? If you say God is light, in him there's no darkness at all, that he's a good God, then why is it that you experience suffering? How could a good God allow you to suffer? Do those questions only come to me? If God has all the power to change anything, why are you still in your situation as you remain? But the way that we fight these thoughts and these challenges are not physically, but we fight with the sword of the Spirit, meaning the Word of God. We go back with the Word of God. That's how we fight. We fight with this. And in James 1 and 17, what happened there? There it is, James 1:17. It says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That means God doesn't change. God never changes. He never changes. Every good gift comes from him. There is no bad gift that comes from God. None. You say, I'm struggling in a particular area right now. I'm being battled in my mind, in my heart, in my body. That's not from God. But the enemy will whisper to you, how could God allow this to happen? He's the one that brought the disease, the destruction, the pain, the turmoil, the chaos, the confusion. And then he'll whisper to you, if God is a good God, then why do you suffer the way that you suffer? Why are you struggling the way that you are struggling? Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do you know what that means? That means God doesn't change. Variation means change. He doesn't change. There's no shadow in God. For there to be a shadow means there's an element of darkness somewhere. When I put my hand over this podium here, I can see a slight shadow because there's a light and there's a little bit of a covering that's here. But God is completely transparent. There's no darkness. There's no shadows with him. That means everything about God is good. Everything about God is wholesome. Everything about God is pure, and there's no darkness in him whatsoever. And if we dare believe that, it'll change our perspective entirely. Allow me to share with you a couple of verses. Here's one that some of you may have heard, memorized, or even have inscribed on your Bibles. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Where is that? Jeremiah 29:11. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the sand of the sea. How great are your thoughts towards me. I cannot count how many good thoughts you have towards me. There are more than the... Anybody been to the ocean? The beach? That's a lot of sand. That's a lot of sand. Sometimes it ends up in the strangest places. It's a lot of sand. God's word tells us that his thoughts towards us are more than the sand of the sea. How many good thoughts does God have towards us? But guess what I'm choosing to believe? Because of my situation, because of my condition, because of my circumstances, I'm not going to believe that God is good. I'm refusing to believe that God is good. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 7:6. He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the people on the face of the earth." He's saying, you are my treasured possession. I'm willing to give everything up for you. You are my treasured possession. There is Isaiah 41:10, where the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Fear not. Fear not, because I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will help you. How? I'm going to send you an angel. No. I'm going to send you people. Not necessarily. I'm going to do it with my own righteous right hand. How involved does God want to be in each of our lives? Like, tremendously involved. Tremendously involved. You may not recognize, you might not recognize him when you're going through a tough time, if you're in some kind of prison, some kind of chain in your mind, in your heart, but God is there. You may not perceive him when your boat begins to take on water and begins to sink, but he is there. You may not sense him when you receive bad news, but he's there. Even when you think you've been abandoned, he's there. The enemy must be really upset with me right now, because I'm going to preach on anyway. despite all these promises, in verse 11, it says, "And he came to his own, and his own received him not." His own received him not. God chose the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, to appear to. A people who were notorious for being stubborn, for being stiff-necked. It's interesting that he didn't go to the Romans, who were known for their strength, or to the Greeks, who were known for their wisdom, or to the Egyptians, who were known for their advancement in life. He came to these people who are known for being a stiff-necked people. That's good news for you and for me, because this really describes your life and mine as well. I only got two witnesses. It's all good. It's all good. The rest are like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." God doesn't change his mind or his promises. He doesn't. Lord, why don't you find another people who are less stubborn? Because the promise that he made to Abraham, he will keep. When he says, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed," what he said, he will perform. He will perform. And he tells us in Jeremiah 3 and 14, he says, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. You may have wandered away from me, but I'm married to you. You may have walked away from me saying, 'I don't want to be in this relationship,' but I am forever married to you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, because if you leave, you are simply going to be destroyed, and I don't want that to happen." So that's just a brief word there on light. Let's move on to lineage. Lineage. Verse 12, it says, "For many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority or privilege to become children of God." Children of God. And in the middle of speaking of being rejected, Jesus offers this incredible gift to adopt as many who will believe. Adoption. Adoption is, again, something that the Israelites would be very familiar with, because there was a man in their history who was also adopted, who helped bring them out of Egypt. Anybody know his name? Moses. Moses, when he was a child, he was born into a Hebrew family. And when Pharaoh gave the orders for all the children to be killed, ages 2 years and under, all the males, and he began to grow, and he was a beautiful child, the Bible says, but of course every child to his mom is beautiful. And the Bible says that he was a beautiful child. Nobody gets my jokes. But she put him into a basket, and she sent him down the Nile. And there at the Nile was the daughter of Pharaoh. And she opened the basket, seeing the crying child, and she took him as her own. She adopted him. And so now this Hebrew child has been officially adopted by the same Pharaoh who was looking to kill him. Watch God's ways of being able to protect and say, in your face, I will bring up the deliverer in your house on your dime, and he will put you to shame in your face, and I will cause you, Pharaoh, to change his diaper. I will cause you to be the one that will pay all of his expenses. I will cause you to educate him the way that you have been educated. And I will cause him to not fear, but he'll be able to enter in while all other Hebrews are not able to approach the castle, approach the throne. I will cause this Moses that you wanted to kill to run up into your lap and call you Papa and pull on your beard. That's what I will do. And Moses was able to do all of these things. Why? Because he is adopted. When you are adopted, your privileges go from here. I can't even say to here. It's unlimited. What parent in here doesn't want their children to be near them all the time? Well, maybe not all the time, but most of the time. When they're younger, all right? Not all the analogies work, but you get the heart of what I'm saying. You want this child to be close to your heart. Whether you've adopted this child or this child is biologically yours, everything that's in your being you are willing to give for the sake of this little one. Imagine with me God's heart towards you and God's heart towards me when he says, I have adopted you. All who received him, he gave authority to become children of God. In the Old Testament, all a person had to do to receive God's blessings was to be born into a Jewish family. Under the new covenant, we just simply need to be born again. People couldn't choose if they were born into a Jewish family or a Gentile family. Gentile simply means non-Jewish. But today, you don't have to worry about being Jewish or Gentile, black, white, slave, free, male, female, old or young. We are all one in Christ, and all have been given access to approach him at any time and without invitation, because he's already made that available to us. And if people simply will choose to believe that invitation, then they will simply receive. To those who believe, adoption. Adoption. I was looking for a picture to capture the essence of this thought, and this was the best one I can find, where it says in Romans 8 and 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, there should be no more fear in any believer. There should be no more fear to anyone who wants to be a child of God or is a child of God. We're simply to approach him because that's his heart. His heart is to carry you on his shoulders and to say, you are free because I am free, you are free. Everything that I have now belongs to you. You get to inherit everything that belongs to him. So if God is free, you are free. If God has peace, you have peace. If God has provision, you'll have provision. Everything that belongs to him, help me somebody, everything that belongs to him now belongs to you as well. And he's rejoicing. He's not angry at you. He's not angry at me. He's not distant from us. He's saying, let me carry you. Allow me to carry you like a father wants to carry his son, his daughter on his shoulders. I used to carry my kids when they were little. I can't do that anymore. But I used to carry them on my shoulders and say, let's play. I just want to be close. I want to be close. Sometimes dirty diapers and all. I just want to be close. You don't care. They're a mess. They're a hot mess. You don't care. You just say, be close to me. Be close to me. You say, I'm not doing so well right now. I won't say which daughter it was, but it was one of them. Very sick and disoriented. The room was spinning and she was throwing up. The other one was out doing okay. I remember getting on the couch next to the one who was disoriented and holding her so close to me. She was in so much pain. She may or may not have realized that I was there because she was so sick.
And every few minutes she would go and she would throw up. But I held her close. I held her close. Why? Because I'm her dad. It's my job. It's my job. I'm her parent there to protect her. That's my job. Listen, we have a heavenly Father. And David put it this way. If my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Listen, some of us have been abandoned. I know some of the stories that are here because I've spoken to some. Some of us have been abandoned. Some of us have been neglected. And David says, if my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Why? Because he now becomes my father. And when I go through my troubling times and I am in chaos and confusion and my world is spinning, he holds me closer still. You think God pushes away because you're confused and disoriented? No, he holds you closer still. He says, come near to me, draw near to me because I am so close to you. And he carries you on his shoulders. The Bible says he leaves the 99 and he brings the one back, carrying it, chapter 15, verse 15, carrying it on his shoulder, Luke 15. He carries the one back on his shoulder. He's saying, you are too tired to walk. You are too distraught for the journey. You don't know what you're doing or where you're going. Let me carry you right now. I want to carry you if you will, but trust me. I want you to put your full trust and weight on me because there is nowhere else to go. Where else will you go, my friends? He is the light, and we are his lineage. He wants every part of us because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Where shall we go, Lord? Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. There is nowhere else to go. When Jesus in John chapter 6 says, do you also want to leave? And he says, where? Where are we supposed to go? Go back and do what? Go back to who? You have the words of eternal life. When you're doing good, when you're not doing good, God is always there. God is always, he's always there. Let's pray. Jesus. 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 Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. When we're doing well, we need you. When we're not doing so well, we need you even more. Lord, we need you. We need you. I want to encourage you to not simply spectate the next 2 or 3 minutes, but I want you to live. We're not going to be long, but I want you to just lift your heart before God. To say, Lord, that's me. I'm the disoriented one. I'm the one that doesn't know which way to turn. I'm the one that's confused and in chaos right now. Would you draw me close to your heart? Would you cause my eyes to be open to your light, to the fact that I am your child, I am your son, I am your daughter. I belong to you. Things have happened in my life. Things have happened in my circumstances that are beyond my ability to understand, and I'm hurting on the inside, but God, I need you. God, I draw close to you, and you said, come close to me, and I will come close to you. And so based on that promise, Jesus, I invite you to touch every person in this place today. Every person, Lord, every person that's come in with a hurt, with a wound, with a scar, with doubts of confusion, being disoriented. I'm speaking the light of God over you right now. I speak the illumination of God over you right now, for your mind and your heart to be illuminated with his light, so that you can see him in a way that you've never seen him before, and experience him in a way that you've never experienced him before, because he's here. Based on his promise, he's here. And he wants to bring healing to you, not tomorrow, but today, because you are valuable to him. You are valuable to him. He loves you so much. The devil has whispered so many lies in your ears, and he's saying, put all that to the side. Trust me. Trust me. Acts 10:38 says, Jesus went around doing good and healing all. Healing all. He's the healer, and he is the lover of our souls. We simply need to put our trust in him. Our broken hearts, Lord, are before you. Our wounds and our scars of life we place before you.
I pray for illumination, Lord Jesus. I pray for illumination, Lord Jesus, that you would bring the light of your truth, the light of your countenance. Cause your face to shine upon us, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Father, I'm praying for the confidence of adoption. I'm praying for the confidence of adoption. You said personally, as many as believed him, to those he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We choose to believe today, Lord Jesus. We choose to believe. We choose to believe. We choose life. We choose you. Would you take a moment and just pour your heart out before God? Just you and you alone. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just focus on God for the next 60 seconds.